National Gallery on a busy September afternoon, people pushing through the doors to see some of the most beautiful paintings in the country. But imagine the same picture gallery with no pictures, no paintings, no sculptures. And if it all sounds like a ghost story, well, it's actually true. The art gallery you've just been imagining is the National Gallery here in London, but the year is late 1939. Hitler invaded Poland on September the 1st. The British government has just declared war, and one of the most extraordinary cultural stories of the whole Second World War is about to unfold. Bit by bit, painting by painting, sculpture by sculpture, the immense collection here at the National Gallery is being painstakingly parcelled up by a team of curators and assistants. All of it will disappear into storage for the duration, loaded onto trucks and buried deep in a mystery location far beneath the Welsh mountains. In the end, 2,000 paintings will sit tight underground in Snowdonia, while 200 miles to the east, London is pummeled by the Blitz. But during the war years, the National Gallery wasn't totally deserted. Taking the place of those 2,000 paintings were an amazing series of classical concerts led by one of the most famous pianists in the country. More than that, one of the people who most changed the face of Britain's musical landscape, Myra Hess.
I felt one was in the presence of a formidable personality. I mean, she was such a great human being.
She had that great, great love of people, and people loved her.
People suffered these concerts, you know, but they meant so much to everybody, and it's become an iconic thing. The National Gallery concerts, every musician knows about, and everyone else knows about as well.
Stroll up the steps from Trafalgar Square any lunchtime between October 1939 and October 1944, and you'd most likely have run straight into a long queue for one of the many lunchtime recitals here. Look carefully at the faces and you wouldn't have just seen the standard concertgoers who filled concert halls before the war. You'd have seen people in uniform, people carrying gas masks, young, old, a cross-section of London's community. Over 1,300 concerts were put on during the war, filling these empty galleries with the music of Bach, Brahms, Beethoven and Mozart, some of the greatest chamber music in the repertoire. And today, the crowds have returned to celebrate the life of this extraordinary woman. For the first time since the Second World War, the heart of the National Gallery is filled with music once more.
My name's Louise Govier and I work here at the National Gallery, and we're in these rooms today, the Barry Rooms, because we're holding a special tribute to Dame Myra Hess in honour of the concerts that she organised during the Second World War. So as you can hear, there are musicians rehearsing right now for these three free recitals that are happening here today. It's a special occasion that's been organised to mark 3.5 centuries of British Jewish life.
And could you tell us a little bit about the story of the National Galleries during the war? The collection was all stored and went into storage just before the war began, is that right?
In 1939, the director of the National Gallery, Kenneth Clarke, was very aware, along with the trustees, that plans needed to be made to protect the British collection of painting here at the National Gallery. The bombs that were likely to fall in the Second World War were going to be much, much worse than anything that had happened in the First World War. So they had a dry run at the time of the Munich crisis and had a very careful plan so that actually within 11 days in the lead up to the declaration of war, they were able to remove every single painting from the gallery. First of all, they were actually moved to the countryside, to Gloucestershire, some to different locations in Wales. But it became clear once the London Blitz really got underway that they were going to need to be put somewhere much safer. There were actually some suggestions that they should be moved all the way to Canada, but the director didn't want to do that and actually got the Prime Minister on his side. So Winston Churchill actually said, no, bury them in the bowels of the earth, but not a single picture shall leave this country.
And they went to the bowels of the earth in Wales, didn't they? They were buried under the mountain in Snowdonia.
Yes, they found a slate mine. They wanted to find somewhere that would be very safe, but also where the conditions would be good for the pictures. And this particular mine in Manod, just above the village of Festiniog up in the mountains, was found to have a really perfect climate. Once they'd built some little brick huts and sorted out the problems of damp there, it was really good, actually far better than being in the gallery for the paintings. They fared rather well and came back after the war in rather better condition than they'd gone there.
Well, I'm Yonti Solomon. I was Myra Hess's pupil from 1960 to 1962, and I'm here because of Piers Lane, who invited me to join in this rather amazing commemorative concert for Myra. I'm also delighted that I happen to have worked with him for 2 years, Piers?
Or yes, at least, and beyond that as well.
And beyond that, well, yes. So there is a kind of handover artistically.
Well, I'm a grand pupil of Myra Hess, but one of my students from the early 90s at the Royal Academy of Music, Harry Kosecki, is playing this afternoon, and she is a great grand pupil of Myra Hess, so it's lovely having three generations of legacy from Myra Hess.
So these concerts today, they're commemorating Myra Hess's concerts during the war here at the National Gallery.
That's right. This year's a special year because it's the 350th anniversary of Jewish people being allowed to live in England. You might remember that the atrocities in 1290 drove people away to Normandy and beyond. It was only in 1656 that Jewish people were allowed to settle here again. And just as well, because Myra Hess was born into a Jewish family in 1890, and she was an extremely talented girl, made her debut at 17, playing Beethoven's Fourth Piano Concerto in the Queen's Hall with Sir Thomas Beecham, had an outstanding success, and from then on her career became international. She was one of our really top pianists, and one of the top pianists of the century generally, from all over the world. When she was about to undertake her 16th American tour, war broke out, and she decided to forego that tour and to stay in England and devote herself to the people at home. She had this idea that she wanted to set up a series of concerts, but of course it was very difficult to do in the London of those times because cinemas and theatres and concert halls were all closed by public order for fear of bomb damage and large groups of people in one place. So it was a friend of hers, Denise Lassimon, who suggested the National Gallery, and Myra Hess at first wryly responded, "Oh sure, let's go to Buckingham Palace." But amazingly enough, the then director of the gallery, Sir Kenneth Clarke, said, "Yes, we won't have you do just one concert a week, we'd like one every day." And thus began on the 10th of October 1939, a series of concerts that lasted until the 10th of April, exactly 6.5 years, 1946. And most of the concerts took place in the Barry Rooms where we're celebrating today. It's a remarkable privilege to be able to recreate the actual setting. There was a lady here who sang at those concerts and she said it looks exactly the same. That's very thrilling to us. Occasionally concerts had to be shifted down for a period of 9 months in 1940. They had to move.
And Yonti, it must be a very special feeling being back here in the National Gallery today in the very same space as Myra Hess was playing.
It's kind of an eerie feeling, and while I was playing earlier I kind of felt the spirit of Myra hovering about benignly. And she often spoke about these concerts. They were incredibly special to her. And I remember one evening we were having a lesson. It was dusk and it was getting very, very dark. And she closed the curtains and I was playing the slow movement of the Schubert B-flat major sonata. And she said, "You know, this is where how I learned it during the wartime with bombs falling." And the mood she kind of conveyed was so special. I mean, I was almost in tears.
What was she like as a person, as a personality?
She was a very strong person. When she walked into that room, one really felt a magisterial presence. She used to wear these very long, flowing dresses, usually black, and usually velvet. She loved velvet, and there were silk dresses. And she had this rather deep, tenore voice, I guess. And the whole room kind of reverberated with historical significance. It was a great privilege to be one of her students.
And also memories of her as a teacher, you know, the connection between you, Piers, being taught by Yonti, being taught by Myra. I mean, there's a real sense this is a living tradition that's carrying on.
Absolutely, that's the legacy of a great teacher. It's lovely to have that feeling of something being passed on from generation to generation.
I'm Carola Grindia, And I was privileged to have been here 60 years ago at the opening of the concert. And Myra Hess was a very, very close and devoted friend throughout her life to me. And here we are, many of us, many young people, a few who have been here present at the same time as I was, but not many. It is quite extraordinary to be back here. 60 years since the first concert took place in the National Gallery, because Myra had decided to shut the pianos and lock the pianos and drive an ambulance to do her war work. And we, after we made her open the piano and play a Brahms intermezzo, and it was such an emotional moment. She was crying, I was crying. And when she finished, I said, please go on. And she went on and on and on until dusk came. And then I said, but this is what is needed. People who want music. Anyone can drive an ambulance. And this is how she did.
As you can hear, they're tuning the piano at the moment for one of today's concerts. What was the atmosphere like with the original concerts during the war?
Incredible, incredible. Hundreds and hundreds of people were queuing every day. And these were filled. There was never an empty chairs. And only once throughout the war, the concert had to be moved in the basement when the bombs were too strong, too powerful to go on with the concert. But otherwise, nobody budged. The sirens or no sirens, we all sat through. The Queen Mother came very often, and there was a singer. Wonderful. When she saw the Queen Mother, she couldn't stop. She had to do breathing exercises before she could start. She was so moved, she had stage fright, but then she sang beautifully.
And what was she like to know as a friend? Was she like that as well?
She was as warm as her music and so dedicated to her friend, Gina Bahauer and Myra, two rather fat women, playing, having a six hands work by a nephew of Ernst Bach, a great Bach, and with a great man in the middle holding one fat woman on each knee and with the arms on each end of the piano performing. It was hilarious, hilarious.
Okay, the concert's about to start. We're in the Barry Rooms, right in the centre of the National Gallery, and surrounded by all these beautiful paintings on the wall. Difficult to imagine what it would have been like in the 1940s, all these walls completely bare. It's full of people today, but what different people they would have been. People in uniform, people carrying gas masks, sat here in this empty gallery. Quite an amazing thought. Just going to my seat now, and the concert's about to start. Loads of people here today, quite a few people who knew Myra, but lots of people who just have come along to hear the music. Let's go and talk to some of them and see what they thought.
Absolutely superb. Really, brilliant. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Excellent.
I think it was it was very, very nice at the end. The lighter music would bring happiness and joy to the people listening to it in November, the dark years of the war. It was superb.
Yes, it was wonderful just to think this is the same acoustic that she made music in during the war. The only sound effects off we probably didn't have were the bombs dropping. It was great fun. And I've never seen so many pianists at one piano.
Super. Just the spirit of making music together, and especially as so many of them are directly or indirectly connected with Myra Hess herself. And lots of people in the audience who are old enough to have been here at the originals. I've just spoken to a lady in her 80s who sang at this one. So it's just a great sense of fun.
No, I wasn't quite old enough to attend the concerts. I was alive 2 years after, so I missed them. But it's very good, wonderful, wonderful to see them all playing.
I am actually Myra's goddaughter, and I have a silver spoon with Nadia Myra engraved on it in her writing, amongst other lovely little replicas from her. I remember as a child we used to go and have tea with her, and she was always very kind and would ask me to play, and then she would play for me, which was wonderful.